The problem with most financial shows when it comes to calling the market is that it's one guy's opinion over and over again.
Sell, sell, sell.
But any veteran investor knows that there are two sides to every trade, a buyer for every seller, and vice versa.
Buy, buy, buy!
That's why Money Life brings you a wide range of experts.
I need people who, you know, can work well under pressure.
Each day you get the benefit of a new set of eyes on the market with different methods and decision-making tools. Every day you'll hear a different expert giving their take on the market, on what looks good, what looks bad, and how they feel about some of your stock selections.
This stock is blowing up right now.
You never know who might show up to talk stocks. It may be a famous money manager or someone you've never heard of before.
No!
But you'll always get their straight talk.
Must you always be so blasted honest?
Their straight talk, that is, about what they see happening on the market and where to think about putting your money on the daily Money Life Market Call.
That's right. It's the Money Life Market Call, where we talk about all things stocks, mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, closed-end funds, whatever you're interested in. Well, at some point, we're going to have a guest on. And today, our subject is ETFs, exchange-traded funds. And also, we're going to get into a little bit about exchange-traded notes as well. They basically fall into the same space. And my guest is John Spence. Now, he is the web editor at ETF Trends. If you listen to the show regularly, you know that we have Tom Lydon from ETF Trends and Global Trend Asset Management on the show, giving us the ETF of the week every Thursday. Well, John used to be with MarketWatch, where functionally he was the quiet assassin. Okay, everyone who assumes that I'm the fund guy, etc. And here was John just killing it, writing the best coverage out there on ETFs. It was a tremendous loss to us when he went over to ETF Trends, where he is now the web editor. And by the way, if you want to follow him, well, he's at StockTwits, and he's on Twitter, and you can do it. It's at ETF Trend Watcher. And of course, you can find his work now at ETFtrends.com. But yeah, everyone used to say how great our ETF coverage was, and then John left, and everybody was like looking at me going, yeah, you stink at this. So I'm pleased that we get to talk ETFs with John Spence. John, welcome to Money Life.
Thanks for that undeserved introduction, Chuck. And it's good talk to you. Good talking to you. And I miss you at MarketWatch.
Well, you know, we the answer is it was deserved, because I would the only reason that people knew about me and would think I was covering ETFs was that I would go to the conferences and you would stay home and work. And I can tell you, John, I still get mail for you, which is really surprising, because I never worked in the Boston office where you work. So I have no idea how somebody decided they should be sending your mail to my address. But I still get mail addressed to John Spence.
Well, I love writing about ETFs in the markets and talking about them. So let's get into it.
Well, we will right after this. John joins us on the Hightower Hotline. Hightower knows that most investors wonder how their interests stack up against the other priorities at traditional firms. Hightower sets its priorities differently, in line with investor interests. To learn how it works, go to HightowerAdvisors.com. Hightower is an SEC-registered investment advisor. All right, John, you want to talk about ETFs? Well, we got to start with what's going to make something stand out to you, what's going to make it sort of make you say, ah, forget about it, I don't want to go here, because a buy, sell, and hold is worthless without that kind of background.
Right. At Global Trends Investments, which is Tom Lydon's firm that you mentioned, we're trend followers, based mostly on the 200-day moving average. When we're selecting individual sector ETFs or ETFs for asset classes, we're looking at, just in terms of picking specific funds, we're looking at the things that everybody else is looking at, which is how liquid is this ETF? What does the trading volume look like? What is the liquidity of the underlying asset class? And of course, we're looking at other things like fees and tracking error and tax efficiency, all the things that make ETFs attractive to investors. So we just want to make sure that this ETF, if we're going to invest in it, is delivering on those promises.
That being the case, who's delivering now? What are the areas that you take a look at and you go, this is where I want to be? And what are the places where you're saying, nah, this is outside the sweet spot?
One of the things that we like and that's held in the client portfolio at Global Trends is emerging market bonds. Specifically, the ticker is EMB. That's the iShares JP Morgan U.S. Dollar Emerging Markets Bond Fund. And the things that we like there are better yields, lower debt in these countries relative to developed markets, better demographics, and obviously stronger economic growth. Again, we own EMB in the client portfolio, and it's yielding about 5% right now. As the name suggests, EMB hedges its foreign currency exposure. So other options that you might want to look at in this space is PCY, which is from PowerShares, and ELD from WisdomTree. Those ETFs don't hedge their foreign currency exposure. So your returns will be better if those emerging market currencies are performing better than the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends on how you feel about the dollar as to whether or not you want to hedge your currency exposure.
Right, and you can get as tailored as you want to for this asset class, emerging market bonds. The ones that I mentioned are sovereign bond funds, but there's also corporate bonds as well.
Okay, so you like emerging markets bond funds, and again, it was EMB, the ticker symbol, the one you like the best. What else?
In terms of stocks, we like some of the lower risk sector exposure ETFs. So we're looking at sectors that are defensive, conservative, and give you a little bit of yield. So specifically utilities, ticker there is XLU from the Spider family from State Street.
Mm-hmm.
That's yielding about 4%. Also consumer staples, you know, the stuff we have to buy every day, like razor blades, toilet paper, etc. XLP is that ETF, again, from the Spider family. That's yielding about 3%. Also, if you want to get into broad equity ETFs for the U.S. market, there's some low volatility ETFs that are interesting. For example, SPLV, which takes the S&P 500 and it carves out the 100 stocks with lowest volatility over the past year. And that gives you some value tilts to these sectors that I mentioned earlier, like utilities and consumer staples. Also, dividend ETFs, another kind of low-risk strategy to kind of dip your toe into the U.S. stock market.
Okay. Now, one of the things I know you hate because I follow your work is exchange-traded notes where they stop issuing new shares. And there's one out there that's very popular right now where we've got this sort of situation. It is the one ETF that basically deals in master limited partnerships. And this is it's a J.P. Morgan Alerian fund. The ticker symbol is AMJ. Let's talk about that just a little bit, because we've had a lot of guests on the show in the last couple of weeks who have been talking about what a sweet spot master limited partnerships can be. And obviously, that only works if you're getting them in the right way, and you pretty much, I don't think, believe that this would be the right way.
Right. There's a lot of facets to this story. At the top of the show, you mentioned exchange-traded notes, or ETNs, and they kind of get grouped in with the ETF market. You know, what's the big difference? What's the difference, you know, exchange-traded fund versus exchange-traded note? And they actually shouldn't be lumped together. ETNs are debt instruments that are issued by financial institutions like J.P. Morgan, different from an ETF. With an ETF, you're buying a share in an underlying portfolio, exactly as you would with a mutual fund. With an ETN, it's a promise from the bank to pay you the return of an index minus fees and taxes. So basically, your investment is backed by the full faith and credit of the issuing bank, whether it's J.P. Morgan or Credit Suisse or someone like that. And, you know, a popular blogger, Josh Brown, reform broker.
Right, who's been on the show.
Right, he did a post lately on exchange-traded notes, and for him, the N stands for never, as in he would never invest in them because he just doesn't want to be exposed to this credit risk. Moving on to this specific MLP ETN that you mentioned, J.P. Morgan, AMJ, that fund got up to close to $4 billion, and a couple of weeks ago, J.P. Morgan announced that they were going to stop creating new shares in this ETN. It's not clear why they did that. This has happened in the past, but my feeling is that it just got too big for them. They didn't want to take on the risk. So it's not, you know, when you buy an ETN, all you know is that the issuer is going to pay you the return of this index. I mean, it's not even clear if they're running that portfolio in-house. In any case, this fund got so big that it seems that J.P. Morgan didn't want to take the risk anymore. The bottom line for investors is that when an ETN or ETF stops creating new shares, they can trade like a closed-end fund. So you can see premiums and discounts break out to the fair value of the shares. So in other words, the ETN or ETF can be influenced by factors outside of that market. So if a premium builds up in this ETN and you buy it and you don't know that it's happening and that premium collapses, you could lose a lot of money, and and the asset class, in this case MLPs, it doesn't even matter what's happening in that asset class, you could lose money. And that's what happened with a volatility linked ETN ticker TVIX earlier this year, which I'm sure you covered.
Yep, I did. Well, and I mean, it's just one of these things where investors need to know what they're getting into, because they think, hey, this is the right strategy, it puts me in the right place. But how you buy the investment and what the structure is really makes a difference. And although everything gets lumped in under the headline of ETF, there's a lot of differences in how ETFs are structured.
Yes, there are. And, you know, the risks are there for everybody to see with what happened with TVIX earlier this year. There's a natural gas ETN, ticker GAZ. Has stopped creating shares, I think, 2 years ago. And at one point earlier this year, when everyone was trying to time the bottom in natural gas, there was a premium of more than 100% in the CTN, again, ticker GAZ. So that's just a big fat risk if you buy that ETN and you're not aware of that premium.
And we haven't even talked about things like contango and stuff like that, where I always tell folks, if you're an investor and you don't understand what contango is, you should never buy a mutual fund that could be in contango. And unfortunately, we can't talk about that right now with John Spence, my guest, because we got to move on to hold it or fold it.
Play hold it.
You got to know when to hold it.
Or fold it.
Know when to fold up.
That's right. It's hold it or fold it time. This is where we talk to our guest about some requests that our audience had. And of course, it can be stocks, funds, and in this case, it's exchange traded funds. My guest, John Spence, he is the web editor for ETFtrends.com. You can also follow him at ETF Trend Watcher on Twitter and at StockTwits. John, are you ready to go?
I'm ready, Chuck.
Okay, we're going to start with a request we got from Sheldon in Phoenix, Arizona. He wants to know about the iShares Barclays 20-year Treasury Bond ETF. The ticker symbol is TLT.
For us, that's a sell, and there's a few reasons for that. I mean, everybody's been saying, and we've been hearing this for years, that interest rates have to rise at some point, and of course, they just keep moving lower and lower. I think the yield on the 10-year note right now is around 1.6%, which is just absolutely crazy. But we just feel that you're not getting paid enough in terms of yield to take on the risk. I mean, we feel like Treasury bonds have been a great investment so far this year on the safety trade, and the Fed has been helping out with its buying. But with yields at this level, investors might feel safe putting their money into U.S. Government bond ETFs, but they can really get hurt if yields rise. So it's just a risk-reward thing at this point. And also, if we get any good news on the economy or on the Eurozone debt crisis, we could see yields move up, and obviously that would hurt you if you were a bond ETF investor. And then those situations I mentioned, yields could rise for good reasons. You know, the economy is improving, people aren't so scared out of their wits, so they move out of U.S. government debt, but yields could also rise for more unsettling reasons, which would be linked to concerns about the U.S. deficit and the U.S. credit rating.
So you put it all together, that's a sell.
I say we sell now.
On the iShares Barclays 20-plus year Treasury Bond Fund, ticker symbol TLT. Ren in Bethesda, Maryland, wants to know about the iShares COMEX Gold Fund, the ticker symbol IAU.
This is another sell, and I'm a little hesitant to do this because, as you know, Chuck, the gold bugs can get a little feisty.
Yeah.
Sells.
A lot of hate mail coming your way, John.
Gold is obviously really tough to trade, but we feel like gold can get hurt more if the dollar continues to rise. Gold has been trending lower since last year's all-time high. We're now under, I believe, $1,600 an ounce. And this actually seems like a crowded trade with all the money in gold ETFs right now. Also, gold seems to become more of a risk asset. It's been, at times over the past year, it's been moving with stocks. So it could sell off with stocks if the euro crisis takes a turn for the worse. Also, gold seems very dependent on central banks providing more stimulus and more easing at this point. And we got some more Operation Twist from the Fed last week, but no QE as some speculators were positioning for, and you saw gold sell off. So those are the reasons that gold is a sell.
That would be a sell.
Danger, danger.
On the iShares COMEX Gold Fund, ticker symbol IAU, and as soon as I put danger out there with gold, well, I'll get a lot of hate mail too tomorrow, John, so don't feel bad. Sheldon in Phoenix had another request. Let's get to that one. It was the iShares Standard & Poor's U.S. Preferred Stock Index, the ticker symbol PFF.
Yeah, PFF is yielding about 6%, you know, nice yield. So preferred shares are a hybrid of stocks and bonds, so you don't have any voting rights, but you get higher dividends. The risk here is that it's concentrated in the financial sector. We own PGF, which is a preferred share ETF, but 100% in the financial sector. We see PFF, the preferred shares, as a buy.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner!
And the iShares S&P U.S. Preferred Stock Index Fund, the ticker symbol PFF.
We also see LQD, the investment-grade corporate, as a buy as well. And there are some interesting places where you can go right now, as stocks seem to be trading in a range where you could get some decent yield while you wait for things to play out there. LQD is investment-grade corporates. It's yielding about 4%, and this is a play on an improving economy, but again, you're getting some income. And also, corporate defaults are still pretty low, and this is one that we hold in the client portfolios, LQD.
So that would be a buy. A buy on the PFF, and it was also a buy on the iShares iBox investment grade. That's LQD.
Oh, that's beautiful. We could make a fortune.
Okay, the last one for today comes from Ron in Rancho Mirage, California. He wants to know about the iShares iBox High Yield Corporate Bond Fund. That is the HYG.
Sure, yep. High Yield Corporate. HYG is another one that we own in client portfolios. This one yields about 7%. Again, corporate defaults are still low. We feel like there's a good place to park some cash while you're waiting for the debt crisis to blow over in Europe. And right now, a lot of bond investors would rather take credit risk rather than duration risk. So they want to avoid the risk of interest rates rising, and they're more willing to take on credit risk and move down into the speculative grade debt from U.S. Corporates. Again, this is held in the client portfolios, and we like it.
Okay, so that would be a buy on the iShares iBox High Yield Corporate Bond Fund, ticker symbol HYG.
Buy, buy, buy! Is that all you can think about?
Well, it's what we like to think about the most because it means you're getting advice on what that you can act on. And right now, buying is all we can think about because we have to say goodbye to John Spence. He is the web editor for ETF Trends. It's ETFTrends.com. If you want more information, well, it's ETFTrends.com or follow him at ETF Trend Watcher on Twitter and at StockTwits. John Spence, always a pleasure chatting with you. Thanks for coming on Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. Have a great summer.
And we'll talk to you again soon. Speaking of talking again soon, well, stick with us through this break. We got just a little bit more of the Money Life to lead. Stay with us.